This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Let's get to another topic. Let's get something more upbeat. What do we have? Financial infidelity. You have a topic for us.
We're talking about cheaters.
Boy, this is the most depressing episode ever.
Well, in honor of February, you know, last week was Valentine's Day.
Okay.
We're going to talk about financial infidelity.
Oh.
Cheaters.
Okay.
So U.S. News did a survey and indicated that about 22% of respondents said they've either committed financial infidelity or been a victim of it.
These are the ones that admitted to it.
Yes.
Wow.
But I mean, if you've been the victim of it, why wouldn't you admit it?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, you got me.
Yeah. But so either they've committed it or been a victim of it. So granted, there were probably more people admitting to being victims, but that's a whole other story. But think about it. That's like one in five people.
That's nuts.
Right. So that's basically like 2.5 couples.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the half couple part because that's a little weird. Okay.
But the majority, nearly 60%, said that financial infidelity is as bad as or worse than romantic infidelity.
Wow.
It's not surprising that 40% aren't sure they'd ever confess to committing it. So like you said, and it can be difficult for a relationship to recover from financial infidelity. I can't disagree with that, Craig. I would feel pretty bombed if my money disappeared, probably more so than, you know.
I've heard call-ins to some of these radio shows like Ramsey or Clark, and these people are talking about stories about six figures that they did not know, and they just found out. And I can't believe how calm they are, because I don't think I'd be that calm.
And what's sad is a lot of times people, and I shouldn't say a lot of times, but there are times when you don't discover it until the person who's committed those transgressions, you know, either passes away or there's a divorce or some other reason. And then all of the finances, you know, come to light. Mm. And it's a big surprise, you know, that there was, you know, 401k loans and things like that that people didn't know about. All right. So here's a few other findings from the survey. More than 22% say that one person handles all the finances in their relationship. 70% say you should openly share finances, but 18% also say you should have some privacy with money. So I found that was interesting.
That is.
You should share, but also keep it secret.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still want to have my little secret.
Yeah, but you know, I kind of get that. You know, like I've talked before how we do a budget.
Right.
So obviously it's in our shared Google Drive and we both have visibility to it, but we also have our own little allowances that, you know, you can do whatever you want with it.
Right.
And if you don't have to share what you're doing with it. Mm-hmm. So that's nice too. The survey did show that the most common tip off for a partner's deception was spotting an unexpected account balance.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, duh.
But the most common type of financial infidelity experienced is from hidden debts or bank accounts.
Wow. Well, how would you find out about somebody's other bank account?
Yeah.
I guess if you do a credit check.
Yes.
I don't know.
Or yeah, maybe you're trying to get a new loan together, or
the envelope showed up at the house instead of the P.O. box, I guess.
Exactly. Yep. Ooh. That. Or you see a transfer in or out of your joint account, maybe that looks weird. Yeah, I don't know.
If any of our listeners have had experience of that, if you have any signs that you've run into, please send us in. We'll read them. We'll leave your name out. But I'd like to hear more about how you would know. That'd be interesting.
But the most common deception was people making secret purchases followed by hiding debts or financial accounts.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's actually more common than people think. Like it doesn't have to rise to this level of a huge secret account. It could just be that you have a habit and like a collect, like you like to collect certain things. Mm-hmm. If you find that you're having to sneak it into the house, that means you have a problem, right? Yes. Like if you're hiding your purchase, hoping that your spouse doesn't notice, you suddenly have one more purse.
Yeah. When you're hiding presents and it's not December, you have a problem. Yeah.
You have a problem. Yeah. Yeah. So that is a good indication that something might be amiss, is if you feel, because obviously you've got some kind of, you know, spidey tingle of guilt, then that you're trying to hide something, then it probably is an indication that you're not being open and honest in your relationship about your spending. Mm. So how do we prevent this or address it? What do you think, Craig?
Oof. Well,
there's some clues here in some of the findings from the survey, right?
I'm going to take a stab. Well, number one, when you get married, mm-hmm. whatever the debts, it's now yours together.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, I know you guys, you have some money that gets split up. You know, I personally, you know, I'm a different generation, I guess. This multiple account thing that people do, like, someone has their account and they have theirs. And so, hey, I'm going to take care of this bill, you take care of that bill, and that bill. That's crazy to me, mm-hmm. you know, because you're already keeping everything separate. You know, the money right. is, you know, the paycheck's going over here. No one even sees the paycheck. Right. I hear that's very common nowadays. Yeah. I think that right there is leading to this. That's just my personal, I have no data. Everything should be going in the same account. That way everybody right. can see the one account. You're married. You're not boyfriend, girlfriend anymore. When you right. when you did the vows, you said you are one. You know, you sit and down and communicate and talk.
Yeah, anyway. And that's a good point. You know, it's no longer, oh, these are your student loans and this is my car payment. Right. No, it's these are our student loans right. and our car payment. Yeah. So in a partnership, like you said, it's best to share the responsibilities, even not just having separate accounts, but even just having one person in charge of the money can set up an imbalance of power.
Right.
And make it easy for that one person to be deceptive. It is okay to separate duties based on your individual skill sets. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, make sure you agree on who's doing which tasks so the bills are paid on time. So like I do all of our spreadsheet work. know, I am the spreadsheet person and I pay the bills, but we sit down and we talk about it. We have regular finance meetings and mm-hmm. yeah. And we have some bills that are emailed to one person and some to the other. And that way, you know, you can share and talk about them.
Right.
One quick warning before we move on, financial infidelity could also be in the form of your partner stealing your identity and taking out loans or opening credit cards in your name without your knowledge. So like you had mentioned, you definitely want to be checking your credit report at least annually to help. I guess it wouldn't really prevent it, but it would at least identify it so you can correct it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But if you froze your credit and your partner doesn't know how to unfreeze it, yes. that would take care of it.
And we did talk about that in the past yep. as well. Freezing your credit is a big, yep. big deal. You know, and sometimes everyone has their demons, right? So mm-hmm. you just don't know if your partner is really struggling with something. You know, I know someone whose husband has, a problem with gambling. So in that case, they do have to have separate accounts, you know, to protect at least some of the family finances.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there are different situations. Obviously, when you find out about a situation like that, you have to stop the bleeding and then address the issue.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Almost a third say if they've discovered financial infidelity, they'd have a discussion about it, which I find interesting that it's only a third, really.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people would just go straight to an argument with their partner, right?
Well, that would probably be me. I'd probably be so upset.
There might be some four-letter words uttered, right?
Well, it depends on the amount. I mean, if we're talking about one purchase, but if we're talking about five, six figures, that's mm-hmm. an issue, big time. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, try to prevent some of this by having weekly or monthly money meetings with your significant other. We schedule big monthly, or not big monthly, but we do have regular larger meetings about our investment goals or our goals for the next quarter, things like that. And we, you know, go. We're like, okay, and we call them like board meetings, even though it's just the two of us. Like,
so do you guys do your budget at that time too?
No, I do. I have a rolling budget. I do my budget every pay period, twice a month. Yeah, I do budgeting twice a month. Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's on like autopilot because I'm on my 7th year of spreadsheet. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. No, 7 years. I'm not stopping because it is something you should do forever. But yeah, so you just do a meeting and you figure out what time period works for you. Like us, we're on autopilot, so it's less frequently. If you're in the earlier stages and you're trying to get out of debt, or you know you have other more immediate goals, then you may want to meet more often and just talk about it. You know, not talking about it doesn't make the problem go away. You can't be a what is it, an ostrich with the head in the sand?
Yes.
All right. So set some goals. Once you get into a groove with your money meetings, it's time to look at the short-term and long-term goals and talk about them, both joint and separate goals. You know, maybe you want to go back to school and that's a goal of yours and you don't see how it's possible. Well, sometimes if you talk about it with your significant other, you can develop a joint plan that makes your dreams possible both individually and together. Joint goals might include retirement funds, vacation planning. We love vacations. Building an emergency fund or remodeling your house. Some separate goals might be a guy's weekend away or a girl's weekend. Every now and then, my sisters and I do a sister's weekend somewhere fun. Mm-hmm. So that's always fun, you know, or whatever your particular interest is. So it's healthy to have separate interests, but where money's involved, there should be a mutual agreement that the funds will be used that way.
Yeah, I love that.
That's really it.
Could you now you got me thinking how bad that is. I mean, I hear the phone calls on some of these talk shows and it's just, man, I feel bad for some of these people.
Yeah,
to recover from some of these situations, I mean, it could take years, decades.
And it is a complete violation of trust, but.
Oh, yeah. And how do you, you know, it's hard to rebuild trust after that.
It is. I mean, I'm not a marriage counselor, so I'm not going to get into that either. Part of it. But in terms of your finances, prevention is the best medicine.
If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rock Band USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.